Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on key interest rate decisions. So the Savings and Reserve Bank met last week and decided to keep interest rates unchanged, although two of the six members on that committee voted for a cut of 25 basis points. So I think it'll be useful to discuss that in conjunction with South Africa's latest inflation data, which clearly surprised to the downside. And it's evident from that data that there's very little inflationary pressure within the Savings and economy. The second topic that I think is worth discussing is the Federal Reserve's decision to cut rates 25 basis points. That was anticipated by most people. But I think the focus is much more around their discussion in the post-decision press conference, particularly their focus on the unemployment data and the lack of job creation and what that may mean for U.S. interest rates.
Let's start with South Africa's inflation data and the MPC decision to keep interest rates unchanged.
The inflation numbers in South Africa, these were August numbers. They surprised on the downside. During the month, there was a reduction of 0.1%. Most people were thinking that we would see inflation in the month rise by about plus 0.1, maybe plus 0.2. So this was a clear surprise to the downside. And what it did was to bring the annual rate of inflation down from 3.5% to 3.3%. At the same time, the core inflation rate was measured at 3.1%, and so it's very clear that South Africa's inflation rate continues to hover just above the 3% level. And that's quite key when you consider that very recently the Reserve Bank decided to change their inflation goal and to try and achieve a 3% sustained inflation rate over a period of time, and they think they can get there during the course of 2027. So if we break down the August inflation data, very little pressure evident in the numbers. We had a month-on-month decline in food prices. That's where I think most of the surprise came from. We certainly had an expectation that food inflation would rise again in the month. Instead, it went the other direction. We had a decline in fuel prices. And then if I look at a whole range of consumer goods, things like household appliances, clothing, sporting goods, those types of things, geez, there's no inflationary pressure. And many of those categories are actually recording negative numbers. In other words, they're in outright deflation. These obviously still some inflation numbers that are elevated in South Africa. That would include things like medical aid, where the inflation rate is over 10%. We've got electricity inflation that is high single digits. Equally, we've got water inflation, also high single digits. So it's not to say that there's no inflation in South Africa, but if I look at the general trend, it's been compellingly good over the last 9 or 10 months, where inflation has moderated further and it stayed around 3%, despite all of the expectations that that move down would only be temporary and that we would see inflation move up over just a few months. That clearly hasn't materialized, and the reason appears to be the currency is holding on, partly because the dollar is weak, and also that China is exporting deflation. So if we look at imported inflation coming into South Africa, there's very little pressure. Now, clearly, some of this relates to the weakness in the economy more broadly. If we look at economic growth this year, it's only expected to grow at 1%, maybe slightly above 1%. That's not an environment where you would typically expect to see significant inflation. But even with taking that into account, you would have to say that our inflation numbers remain particularly subdued, and therefore it's entirely feasible that we are going to make a lot of progress in getting our inflation rate to be anchored around 3%. In terms of our own forecast, we still think that inflation will drift above 4% over the coming months, but I don't think that's necessarily all that problematic, because I think the underlying trend remains fairly subdued, and the Reserve Bank saying that they only expect to achieve this 3% inflation target during the course of 2027. We also think that the National Treasury will come on board with a change in the target. I expect there will be a formal announcement regarding South Africa's inflation target within the next couple of months. And I think that would help the Reserve Bank in their quest to ensure that South Africa's inflation rate remains fairly subdued. Obviously, in terms of interest rate, it creates something of a dilemma. The dilemma is that the economy itself would justify a further interest rate cut. The weakness in the economy suggests that it needs all the help it can get, and therefore, just on that factor alone, there's an argument to cut rates. But the Reserve Bank wants to achieve this 3% goal over a period of time, and the expectation is that in the shorter term, inflation is actually going to be moving in the wrong direction. So could the Reserve Bank still cut interest rates? I think it's possible if you use the argument that says that, yes, inflation is expected to move higher from here, but what happens in that move to the higher level that it continues to surprise on the downside? In other words, it moves higher, but the extent to which it increases is actually well below what people are currently expecting. Under those circumstances, there would be an argument that inflation continues to surprise to the downside, and therefore there is room to cut interest rates. And I think the Reserve Bank is alive to that expectation, right? Because if you break down the voting decision by the Reserve Bank at the last MPC meeting, two of the six members opted for a cut of 25 basis points. That's telling you that they think there is scope to reduce interest rates, even though they've got this 3% target and even though inflation is expected to move higher in the shorter term. So I think we've moved into a fairly favorable environment in terms of our inflation data. I don't think it's necessarily going to be smooth sailing from here in terms of getting or ensuring that inflation is contained at 3%. But you would have to acknowledge that we're off to a good start. The data seems reasonably under control. And if at some point we can get more on top of the administered prices, electricity, water, education, medical aid, those types of price increases, then we have a real chance of ensuring that that South Africa's inflation rate ends up being meaningfully more subdued than it's been in the past. And obviously, if we get to that point, then there's lots of benefits that should accrue to South Africa. For example, the Reserve Bank should be able to reduce interest rates meaningfully if we are at the 3% level. And so that would reduce the cost of capital, and presumably that would help with confidence levels and start to encourage companies to go back into some sort of expansion or fixed investment. So a reduction in the cost of capital would be a benefit. And then equally for consumers who have got a fair amount of debt, any sustained reduction in interest rates would help. But clearly we've got to get to that point where it is evident that we are able to achieve a 3% outcome on a more consistent basis. So I remain optimistic that we'll get there. I think it's still going to be a process. I think in the shorter term, we're going to find inflation going above 4%. I don't think that should detract from the quest of getting inflation down to 3%. And then hopefully over time, that message moves around to the different components of this economy and everybody starts to buy more comprehensively into the benefits of a 3% inflation outcome. So a good set of inflation numbers. I guess a little bit of disappointing that the Reserve Bank didn't use that as an opportunity to cut rates. But I think you've got to see that the Reserve Bank wants to ensure that over the medium term, the benefits that accrue to South Africa are more significant than simply one additional cut in interest rates. And that if we can get to that outcome, I think we will have a lasting benefit.
Is the Federal Reserve's decision to cut interest rates by 25 basis points. I think that was widely expected. And if I look at the statement they released, only one member dissented on that expectation. That was Steve Marion. He wanted a cut of 50 basis points. So I guess a degree of cohesion within the decision-making process. If we break down their rationale for the cut, it seems to be that the Federal Reserve is now very focused on the weakness in the US labor market. We've seen that weakness show up in a little bit of an increase in the unemployment rate, but it's more pronounced in the fact that the US is not adding the number of jobs they have previously. And so the slowdown in job creation has led to concerns that the US economy is losing momentum, and that because the labor market is weakening, there is some risk to the downside. And clearly the Federal Reserve wouldn't want to put themselves in a position where you go from small job gains into outright job losses. Once you go into job losses, there is a tendency for that to become self-reinforcing. In other words, some job losses then lead to greater job losses, and before you know it, you are in a recession. And so the Federal Reserve wants to try and ensure that that doesn't happen, and the best way to do that is simply to cut interest rates. At the same time, it feels like the Federal Reserve is signaling their willingness to cut interest rates further. So if you look at their dot plot, which was updated in this latest meeting, it suggests that they're willing to cut rates 25 basis points in October and then another 25 basis points in December. So that would suggest successive cuts in interest rates. It still wouldn't take the Federal Reserve's interest rate down to a neutral level or its long-term objective, but it would be certainly a more meaningful reduction. And clearly, if you put those cuts in, you would start to help the US economy into the course of 2026. So what's happened to the concern about tariffs and its upward pressure on prices? And the reality is, while the tariffs have gone ahead and been in place now for a few months, it's not showing up in significant inflationary pressure. The reason appears to be that at this stage, companies are absorbing a significant portion of the increase in tariffs and not passing that cost on to the consumer. What we don't know, of course, is will that persist? Will companies initially say we'll absorb the price, but later on they try and pass that cost effect on to the consumer, and therefore later on you get some evidence of inflationary pressure? Or are companies simply willing to absorb that cost on a perpetual basis? That's very unclear at this stage. We do know that the federal government is collecting significantly more tax revenue as a result of the tariffs, so there's no doubt that it's having some effect. It's just that it's not showing up in the inflation data in a very substantial way. Now, there is some evidence, if you break down the US inflation numbers, there is some evidence that the higher tariffs are having an effect on a few categories of inflation, but those few categories tend to have a small weight, and even then the increase is not particularly pronounced. And so the emphasis of policy has shifted away from the concerns about tariffs and inflation into a concern about a weakness in the labor market. And I think that's fair given the circumstances. And for the moment, I think the shift or the focus is going to remain on the weakness in the labor market. In the background, I think we just got to be careful that we don't entirely ignore what's happening in the inflation data. And we've got to be alert to the idea that at some point, it may materialize in some higher upward pressure on prices. And we'll continue to monitor that data very carefully. But as I say, for the moment, there's been a noticeable shift away from an outright concern about inflation into a more of an outright concern about the labor market. So we expect that that will continue. By that I mean that the Fed will be willing to cut rates a couple of times this year, and there's then the possibility that they continue to cut during the course of next year. I think next year becomes a little bit more problematic because of two factors. The one is that you've got the One Big Beautiful Bill comes into effect early next year in terms of its impact on consumers, and that's going to give consumers a bit of a stimulus at the start of the year. And clearly, the Federal Reserve wouldn't want to be aggressively cutting interest rates while that stimulus is unfolding, because you could add a bit of inflationary pressure into the US economy. The second fact is, obviously, you're going to change the chairman of the Federal Reserve in May next year. And once you change the chairman, you're going to change a lot of the
dynamics of that decision-making process, and clearly that may result in a change in monetary policy. So there are some important unknowns, but in the shorter term, I think it's fair to assume that the Federal Reserve is on a slightly different path than they were just a couple of months ago. A couple of months ago, there was this outright focus about tariffs and inflation. Now it's very much the labor market, and so you would anticipate some further easing of interest rates and then some more detailed reassessment of where the economy is.
That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.